Welcome to this episode of the Think While Lab podcast. Today, I speak to Tanushree Srivastava, who is the manager and head of the Western Himalayan Mountain Unglade project at the Wildlife Trust of India. Today, we talk about the conservation of the markhor, a large unglade species which is the national animal of Pakistan. We talk about the threats faced by markhors and mountain unglades in general, and what the Wildlife Trust of India is doing to conserve the species. To learn more about the project, you can visit the Wildlife Trust of India's website below, in the description. And if you do like this episode, don't forget to subscribe and share. So welcome, Tanushree. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast here today.
Thanks a lot, Anish. Even it's a pleasure for me as well to be here and talking to you.
So today we'll be talking about the markhor. So could you just talk about what the markhor is and what makes it so special?
So I would not say that only markhor is special. Of course, all the unglades, and in that case, all the wildlife and all the species are special for the roles they are playing in the ecosystem. But yeah, markhor is a special ungulate because it is known to be as one of the largest wild goat in the world. And it is one of the caprids, and the caprids are highly specialized to survive in extreme environments like mountains and other subarctic regions. So, of course, it is a special species.
Where are the markhors found, and what are their conservation status?
So, markhor is distributed in the Central Asia, including India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, and Tajikistan. In India, you find this subspecies called flare-horned subspecies of markhor, which is also known as Kashmir or Pir Panjal markhor. And in India, it occurs only in the Union Territory of Jammu and Kashmir. And if we talk about the conservation status of the species, it is currently listed as threatened under the Indian Wildlife Protection Act 1972. And the population of around 250 to 300 individuals exist in the Kashmir Himalaya, which is mostly fragmented and scattered. Even though there have been 4 protected areas in the region for this, 2 viable populations of markhor have been known to exist in the region. So one larger population of around 180 to 200 individuals is in the Kazinag range, which is the North Kashmir. And another smaller population of around 30 to 50 individuals have been reported in the Pir Panjal range, which comes in the South Kashmir. Kazinag population has been doing okay as of now, has increased a bit, but there are problems, little bit issues with the Pir Panjal population, and it has shown a declining trend in the valley in the recent decade. Yeah, so that's the status, basically.
So one of the key threats to the markhor and most unglades in the Himalayas is posed by livestock. So can you explain how so?
Yeah, so livestock grazing is a big problem, although there are other threats as well, like infrastructure building, infrastructural developments and other stuff. But livestock herding has been a problem for ungulates in general, and in that case, markhor in the Kashmir Valley. Because these landscapes are seasonal, and the resource availability in these areas are quite seasonal. And the usage of these resources is also very seasonal, either it is by wildlife or by humans. So livestock herding has been going on for hundreds of years now. But what has recently happened is that, with the increase in population, human population, the population of humans as well as livestock has increased, and that has been posing a lot of pressure on the ungulate species in general. Livestock grazing exposes the wild ungulates to the risks of resource competition, which is both in terms of food and space, and the transmission of diseases from and to the wildlife. And depredation also happens, especially of the young ones, by the guard dogs that these livestock herders accompany. So overall, yeah, it is a problem. Livestock herding is a problem and has resulted in a decline in the population in Kashmir as well, in other parts of the country as well. Yeah.
So how prevalent is the threat of human-wildlife conflict for the marker, and does competition with livestock influence this conflict?
Well, I would not completely say call it a conflict, but it is more of an interaction, and the interaction between ungulates and livestock does have an impact on the resource availability of these ungulates. So it would not directly be a conflict, but there are threats like I already told you that there can be disease transmission, there can be depredation of the young ones. So yes, it's there. I would not rather call it a conflict. The carnivores are more into conflict, but yeah, there is an interaction. There's a human-wildlife interaction in this case. Yeah.
So, poaching was once a major threat to the marker. Why is this the case, and what is the Wildlife Trust of India doing to counter the poaching of the marker?
So yeah, poaching has been actually a great threat to larger ungulates, including markhor and hangul. This is mostly because of their larger body size, including their horns and antlers. Especially the males have been more vulnerable to hunting and poaching practices. And also the seasonal migration of these ungulates to the wintering grounds, which is towards a lower elevation, brings them more close to the human habitations, which further exposes them to the risk of poaching and hunting. So if we talk about what WTI has been doing to counter poaching, as of now, what we have been trying to do is to increase vigilance and more efficient patrolling in these areas, which are closer to the protected areas. This is being done in very close collaboration with the Department of Wildlife Protection, Jammu and Kashmir, and the local communities inhabiting these areas. So what we have done is we have identified local youths from the local communities, which are passionate about and they want to do something for wildlife conservation. So we have identified these youths, and we have formed groups of these people, which are known as markhor watchers, and we regularly train them and equip them with field gears and other stuff that is required for patrolling. So these groups keep patrolling in these protected areas and try to inform us as well as the department with any illegal activity happening in the in these areas. Also, because as I told you that during the winter season, these the all the wild ungulates actually migrate to the lower elevations, and that is a time when more hunting and poaching is expected in a lot of these areas. So what we have been doing in the past few years that there are some local people that have licensed guns. So what we do is with the help of the Department of Wildlife Protection and with the Superintendent of Police in North Kashmir, we have been trying to seize these licensed guns at least for the during the winter season, so that at so as to avoid any such cases being done by the local communities. Although it's not very prominent, but just to make sure that at least the local communities are not practicing this thing. Yeah.
So, is climate change a major threat to marker, and if so, how?
This has not specifically been studied for markhor, but climate change in general is known to impact the mountain ungulates from its impact on plant phenology. So the mountain ungulates are known to time their reproduction as well as seasonal migration with the plant phenology. For example, the females time the most energy expensive phase, like birthing of their young ones or the lactation, with the peak in forage availability, and the males time their mating, especially when they are in the best of their body conditions. So such relationships have not been studied in detail in markhor, but many studies in the higher latitudes do suggest that these relationships will be impacted adversely if the climate change has impacts on plant phenology. So there are studies that suggest that there can be a mismatch in the peak in availability of forage and these timings when these ungulates give birth to young ones. So if there is a mismatch in these two phases, there can be an effect on the recruitment to the population. So in that case, yes, but right now we are not in a very good condition to assess this because we lack that baseline data of these relationships. So in future, it will be good if detailed studies on altitudinal migration, reproduction, and relationships of plant phenology will be carried out so that this baseline can be compared to assess the impacts of climate change in future.
What about free-ranging dogs? Are they a major threat?
Well, yes, free-ranging dogs are a major threat, especially to the female Markhor and their kids. In WTI itself, we have studied this and we have found that the female Markhor are actually using suboptimal habitats to avoid predation risk by the dogs. The dogs do predate on the fawns of many other ungulates, including Markhor and Hangul. And even if they are not predating them, they cause stress in these ungulates by just chasing them. And this also has an impact on the reproductive physiology of these ungulates. So yes, dogs are a threat in this case, as well as for other ungulates throughout the mountain ecosystems.
So, could you talk a bit more about WTI's Markhor recovery program?
Yeah, so WTI has been working on various aspects of Markhor conservation and recovery for the past 2 decades now. We started our first survey in 2004, and it's almost been 2 decades now. So since then, we have been working to assess the status of Markhor population by carrying out regular population estimation surveys. Almost every 2 years, we are doing it. And we have also identified critical habitats within the protected areas in the Kazinag as well as Pir Panjal range, where these two viable populations are known to be present. Throughout the Kashmir Valley, what we have done is we have identified the suitable habitats so that there can be these areas can be there can be more efforts put in to protect these areas. During the critical times of the year or critical or when there is a lot of disturbance. Also, based on WTI's work and assistance, in 2007, the Kazinag National Park was notified, and it was notified by combining the Limber and Lachipura Wildlife Sanctuaries with the Naganari Conservation Reserve. And later on, there was another wildlife sanctuary notified, which is a Tatakuti Wildlife Sanctuary, which comes in the South Kashmir and is very adjacent to the Hirpura Wildlife Sanctuary. So there has been notification of these PAs with assistance with the WTI's work. Very recently, this year, what we have done is we have again estimated the Markhor population, and we have used the double observer method, which is suggested to be very robust in estimating mountain ungulate populations in difficult terrains like the Himalaya. We have Very importantly, we have been working with the local communities, the migratory herder communities, which use the PAs in different times of the year, which live in the peripheral villages of these protected areas. The herder communities are mostly Gujjars and Bakarwals, who visit the PAs during the summer season. And we are trying to make them more aware of Markhor as well as wildlife conservation in general. We have also been trying to converge a lot of government schemes to these people, like the conversion of NRLM scheme where the gas cylinders were provided to these herders so that there is a little bit reduction in their dependency on fuel wood from the forest. We also provided them with some solar lights, which can again help them in their reducing their dependency in the forest. We also have very recently started promoting ecotourism in the Kazinag range, where we have supported a few homestays and identified some field guides who can help in promoting ecotourism in the area. Then again, as I already told you, that we have selected the local young youths from the local communities who are patrolling in these areas and are always vigilant about any illegal activity in these areas. This, we think, would increase a sense of ownership and responsibility in among the local communities so that they actively participate in the conservation process of Markhor as well as other communities. Also, we have been organizing capacity building programs for the frontline staff as well as the local communities to train them to monitor and if patrol these areas efficiently and get better updates on the status of the species. Yeah, recently what we did was, as an outreach program, we also conducted a walkathon, which was a UT level event with the Department of Wildlife Protection. And here, more than 3,000 participants were there, including students from schools and colleges. Army people were there, a lot of other departments. So it was a very nice event to tell people and to make them aware of, the species that are present in the UT, including Markhor, Hangul, and a lot of other species which are very less known, lessly. Yeah. So that is something we have been doing in all these years.
So what have been some of the greatest challenges you have faced in your macro conservation programs, and what do you think is the way forward to improve macro conservation?
Yeah, so a very big challenge has been the construction of linear infrastructure, especially the construction of roads, which is happening in the south Kashmir, especially in the Hirpura, in the areas Hirpura, in the, around the Hirpura Wildlife Sanctuary. So there, this road called Mughal Road has come up. It was already there, but now it is a metal road, and this has actually made the area more accessible and easy to be reached for these livestock herders, which has increased a lot of pressure on the Pir Panjal population of Markhor. With the coming of this road, there are construction of power lines, high tension power lines, and also because this area is a border area, so there are a lot of areas which we are not able to sample. Just because of the security reasons, and we are restricted to sample those areas. Though we know that there would be a better population of Markhor in these areas, but of course we can't. Although my army has been supportive and they have been giving permits to us in for sub for you know for monitoring these areas, but still there are areas which we are not allowed to access. So these are some of the challenges that we have been facing while our recovery program. Yeah.
And how can individuals contribute to the Markhor recovery program and Markhor conservation as a whole?
Well, individuals, I would say, it depends on the profile. If anybody wants to contribute to Markhor conservation at an individual level, they can personally make people aware. They can post on social media. They can have some social media campaigns, depending on your profile. And I mean, if these are departments, schools and colleges, if want to do this, they can have awareness programs, certain outreach programs. We can help them if needed. We always keep doing these programs. We try to have these awareness programs for students. So I think it depends. It depends on where you are placed, I guess.
So that is the final question I had for you today. Thank you so much for your time. It is a pleasure speaking to you.